You're listening to Ian Stone's Comedy Breakfast, the podcast edition. I'm here on Love Sport Radio every weekday morning at 6:30.
This is Love Sport.
Luther Blissett, morning, mate.
Morning. What a great day to be in, eh? Oh, I love it.
It is nice, isn't it?
It's brilliant.
It is nice. I mean, listen, we can get to the horribleness, the racist abuse, and it was disgusting. And I'm a little stunned that we're still talking about it, but it is the Balkans, and let's be fair, these countries have only been actual countries since 1991 or something.
Yeah, but they've been human beings for an awful lot longer than that.
You know what? You understand I'm not making excuses, right? I'm just saying that education takes time. That's all. It's generational. That's the point.
Oh, absolutely.
And these people have grown up. I mean, I don't imagine they see many black people.
I don't imagine they see anybody but their own families, I think, some of them, the way they behave.
No. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the football. I sat here yesterday and I said, look, you know what? And obviously people are going to laugh at me, but I was asking for the odds for England to win the Nations League, followed by the Euros, followed by the World Cup. The reason I'm asking that is because I think that they can win the Nations League in the summer. I think they've got every chance of beating Holland and
absolutely
Portugal or Switzerland, right?
Definitely they can.
I genuinely do. I think if this team wins a trophy, and I think that the qualification continues to go as I think it would, I think if England get to the semi-finals next year in the Euros, they're at Wembley, right? Semi-final and final is at Wembley. Yeah. I think with the crowd behind them, I think they can win.
Yeah, because they will not be fazed by the fact that, you know, we've got a full house at Wembley. No matter what, how important the game is.
They like playing there.
They're at home. It is now somewhere. It is now their home.
It's home. Yeah. I mean, it was a full house for the Czech Republic. Assuming that they can win the Euros,
they
will go into the World Cup as joint favourites with France, in my opinion.
They've got to be there or thereabouts for now, absolute certainty.
A lot can go wrong. But as you said when you came in this morning, what happens is when teams finally, I mean, you think about Spain and how good all those Spain teams were, and then they finally started winning. They won three in a row.
That's right.
Now, we're not at that level.
No, we're not. But you wouldn't say Spain was at that level until they won that first one.
Yeah, but they had those Barcelona players. They'd had Barcelona players that had won Champions League.
I know, but at the end of the day, they may have as many players that come from these clubs and whatever. But the thing is, if you have players that are confident and are enjoying their football, and when they all come together, they gel. The way that this England team is going at this moment in time, with the youth and the abilities and the pace that is in that team and the manner in which they're going out and playing, it's fantastic. I would say, defensively, we're not really anywhere near where we need to be at this moment in time. We need to be far more secure and give far less opportunities to teams like this than we have done. But when we go forward, we're up there with any of the best.
We're awesome. Now, Seb Stafford-Blaw of the Football Writers Association will be joining us in a short while to talk more about the game. So we will talk more about the game because I want to analyse that particularly. I mean, there's a picture of Ross Barkley was being interviewed on Sky. And I must say, by the way, that he is starting to look like the player that we thought that he could be.
Absolutely. We saw signs when he came on on Friday. And I tell you what.
Yeah, no, he's quality. As for the racist abuse, I couldn't hear it. I was watching the game and I couldn't hear it. Right
now, on the radio, it was called out after about 5-6 minutes on the radio.
Really? Well, maybe they had better. Maybe they had. They were in better seats to hear it because on the TV they never mentioned it.
Yeah.
They never mentioned it at all. Now it doesn't mean that I'm having a go at Clive Tilsley or whatever and Lee Dixon. You know, Dicko's best mate is Ian Wright, right? Yeah. He's going to be gutted by stuff like that.
Of course.
So there's no way that they wouldn't have mentioned it if it was coming up. So I'm guessing they didn't hear it. But there was also no doubt, and I noticed it when Raheem Sterling, I thought he was cupping his ears to the fans, and I was saying to my missus, that's only because of racist abuse. Yeah. Actually, he was doing some sort of impersonation. Yeah. You think I'm a monkey? Yeah. When he went through and scored that fifth goal.
And what a good goal as well.
How good?
You're looking at, you think back to the Iceland game and all of those games, three.
Seems like a thousand years ago.
Thankfully it was. You would not have been surprised if he hadn't scored, but there was no way. Now you see, you're thinking that ball is going to hit the back of the net.
Absolutely brilliant. Now, all right, we discussed when you came in, it was the first thing we talked about, right, was the racism. what's to be done? What's to be done? I mean, you shut the stadium. I think
it's... I don't think you shut the stadium. I think what UEFA, these gutless idiots who run football, and it's the same with FIFA. What you do with these people now, and it is so obvious it's gone on, and they had people there, and if they don't now go ahead and put a report about it, Montenegro should get thrown out of the competition tomorrow. Today should be done straight away. They should just get slung out of the competition now and get banned for the next 5 years for ever playing in any international competition. All of them. And I tell you, if you did that, they would very quickly come round to doing something about it in their own country, because that's where it's got to start. They've got to do something about it. We can shout and scream and holler as much as we like, but it's got to start in their own backyard to sort it out. Like, they had to face that here in England, and you know, we've gone an awful long way to clear it. Yes, we've still got ways to go, but at least we are addressing the problem, and we do recognise there is a problem. These countries and UEFA and FIFA, they don't see a problem. I mean, FIFA, on the Sepp Blatter, what was it, 3 years ago, decided after an investigation of what, just over 18 months worth, decided they had solved the racist problem. There was no longer a problem. They're idiots, these people. All they think about is money, and they don't think about the human cost to everything that they do.
This is Love Sport.
Jamie's looking now. He's looking, he's searching, and he's come back in. He's got his bit of paper. There it is. What's on it, Jamie? It better be good.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Butler Mancad incident.
All right.
Now, this is yesterday. Jos Buttler, for those who don't know, Mancad incident is named after Mancad, who is an Indian all-rounder who ran out Australian Bill Brown in a test match in 1947.
Yes.
When he was at the non-striker's end. And so now, running out a batsman at the non-striker's end as you're running into bowl is known as a Mancad.
Right.
And this isn't the first time it's happened to Jos Buttler. It happened before. I think he was warned at the time. It was against Sri Lanka a few years ago. The difference is yesterday, Ashwin ran him out of the non-striker's end, didn't warn him first. And it's allowed in the game, but it's thought to be not in the spirit of the game to run someone out like that. Or if you give them a warning or two first and say, look, you're out your crease when
next
I'm running
time
in.
You do that, I am going to run you out.
Yeah, but Ashwin didn't do that.
No.
And the laws back in the day were that you had to wait till the bowler had bowled the ball before you could leave your crease. Otherwise, he could run you out. And then it became, once he's in his delivery stride, he's not allowed to stop and try and run the batsman out. But then in 2017, they relaxed that again. So now the rule basically says, if you enter your delivery stride and are about to bowl your ball, if the batsman leaves his crease, at the time you would expect the bowler to deliver the ball, then any time before that, you're okay to run him out. So basically, you have to look at when Ashwin would have released the ball, yeah, if he was a bowler. And if Jos Buttler had left his crease before then he's allowed to be run out.
Yeah. I mean, we know, by the way, we know when someone's taking the mickey and when they're not, right? We know. If he's halfway down the the wicket, that's too far.
And he wasn't taking the mick like that. But then if you look closely, and it looks like he's just basically on the line between being in and out at the point where you would expect Ashwin to be delivering that ball. So he's not completely taking the mick. And Ashwin didn't warn him. And I think that's why most of the cricket fans and former players on Twitter have said that this is out of order of Ashwin. And Steve James is talking about it in The Times, says that it's a poor example to young cricketers. If you've got a player going well like Jos Buttler, like he can be, he's on 69 runs, he's an excellent batsman, you've got to think, all right, how do I get him out? Ashwin's captain as well. How do we get him out? What do I do? And it's just too easy to think, oh, I'm going to do this. I mean, supporters, Mitchell Johnson, Australia, former Australia bowler, has been on the side of Ashwin, saying, well, Butler's gaining an advantage by gaining an extra couple of steps.
Well,
he needs to. And I think everyone agrees that Buttler was a bit daft to do that. He should have been at least watching Ravi Ashwin.
And the fact that you're saying warn him, I mean, yeah, that's the spirit of the game, right? Basically, the bowler comes running in. The first time it happens, Butler's maybe half a yard out of his crease, and the bowler says, look, just to let you know, I could have run you out there, but I decided not to because I am a fair player, but don't push it, mate. Because the next time I come in and you are half a yard out of your crease, I'm just going to knock the bells off and you'll be out. And that gives him license to do it next time. By the way, there's not everyone agrees. The ex-Australia batsman, Dean Jones, don't blame Ashwin here, as it's allowed in the laws of the game. How is it disrespectful or against the spirit of the game if it's allowed within the laws of the game? Blame the administrators for making the law. That sounds to me very similar to the conversation we had a couple of months ago when Nick Kyrgios did an underarm serve.
I was going
to
say exactly. exactly
an
the same thing.
Serve to Rafa Nadal. Rafa Nadal, by the way, who stands 100 foot back from the baseline to receive serve, and it gives him plenty of time. It takes all the power off the serve. So Nick Kyrgios thought, right, I'll get him in. I'll mix it up a little bit. And everyone had a go at him, partly because it's Nick Kyrgios. But I don't think there's a lot of difference. If it's in the laws of the game, you can do what you want. But we have to have a little bit of give and take here as well.
You do. And that's where, you know, in the spirit of the game. And that is very, very important in whatever you do. There has to be some sort of, let's say, level playing field or whatever part of it that you will give people a little bit of latitude, which is not so much give them the opportunity to go and take advantage, but for... You know, say no, you allow you to almost make that little bit of an error, and you know, but if you warn them about it,
the warning is the thing. In football, right, Luther, I'll ask you this in a football sense, you know the difference between an outright dive and someone who wins a foul, right? Now, winning the foul is basically in the spirit of the game, an outright dive is not in the spirit of the game,
and there is that fine line between the two,
and in cricket. Warning them first and then doing it is in the spirit of the game. Just doing it, because no one expects it. But let's be fair, at this point, the rest of the Indian Premier League, people will stay a half a yard further back in their crease because of it.
Spirit of the game is one thing, and we can argue about that. And yes, that wasn't in the spirit of the game. But the other thing is, even looking at the rules, that's even up for debate whether he was actually allowed to be run out. Basically, the official rule, if the non-striker is out of his ground from the moment the ball comes into play to the instant when the bowler would normally have been expected to release the bowler is permitted to attempt to run him out. So it's at the moment that the bowler would normally be expected to release the ball. Now, Ashwin's foot that he delivers the ball in, his left foot, is on the crease while Butler's still in his crease. And that's pretty much the time when you'd expect him to release the ball. And so, as Butler's bat is just leaving the crease, he would have been expecting. So even if you look at the rules and you forget the spirit of the game, even looking at the rules, Ashwin may have been in breach of them by running him out. That's what a lot of people are saying. Anyway, I mean,
some people are saying that.
Most on Twitter.
All right. I mean, it doesn't mean they're right, though, does it? Let's be fair.
It's like the offside rule. These rules and even looking at the video and knowing these rules, it's still very difficult to tell whether Ashwin was in breach of them.
It'd be interesting to see what happens from now on. No one's going to be trying to steal half a yard now, are they?
Well, don't be daft. Yeah, it's the second time it's happened to him. He should have learnt, really. He should have been watching the bowler, regardless of what Ashwin was doing.
Yeah. You're listening to Ian Stone's Comedy Breakfast, the podcast edition. I'm here on Love Sport Radio every weekday morning at 6:30.
This is Love Sport.
Jamie's come in, and I'm assuming you've got some sort of flying story.
Yeah, spot
on. We're nothing if not literal here at the Comedy Breakfast at Love Sport Radio. What have you got?
Yeah, this was a bit of a flight gaffe from British Airways.
I heard about this. Unbelievable.
In the wrong country.
From British Airways yesterday. Yeah, a flight from City Island in London was... City Airport, sorry. It was supposed to land in Germany, in Dusseldorf.
Yes.
Ended up in Edinburgh.
Oops.
And then they had to, and then they went, and then they basically...
This does not look like Dusseldorf, Gunther. No, Walter.
And the passengers only realised, well, I imagine probably a couple of them were looking out the window going, what's going on? But most probably were just oblivious to it all.
Well, one international airport looks much like another.
It was the approach, it was approach on landing when people recognised, well, this is not Dusseldorf.
Yeah, they landed. And then the pilot said, welcome to Edinburgh. Because he obviously was, he realised where he was going.
Yeah. All the crew apparently knew exactly where they were going.
What had happened was they put in the wrong flight path. So obviously all the BA crew thought they were, nice little trip to Edinburgh. All the passengers were thinking they were off to Dusseldorf. So bit of a mix-up. And then they had to wait 2.5 hours in Edinburgh to go to go on to Dusseldorf.
And there was a flight. Or did they take the same flight?
They arranged for them. I'm not sure whether it was the same plane.
That is so rubbish.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a massive mistake.
That is brilliant.
Isn't it? I've never heard of anything quite so ridiculous.
No, it's never happened before.
Edinburgh's a beautiful city, by the way. I mean, you know what?
But not one to visit when you're expecting to be in Dusseldorf.
Well, I guess if you've got a couple of days spare, there's very few people who have that sort of time. But if you've got a couple of days, well, we will stay in Edinburgh for a while. Have a look around. Maybe. I hope nobody missed out anything major.
Yeah, hopefully not. But originally they said it's been diverted originally when they said, well, hang on a minute, why are we in Edinburgh? BA said, oh, your flight was diverted. And then they came clean and said, no, the wrong flight path was written down.
Oh, dear. Mm. So they'll compensate those passengers, no doubt.
Yes, I imagine
free they'll flights get... and all the rest of it.
You'd
to any destination in the world, we're not going to tell you where beforehand because we're not totally sure ourselves.
Lucky dip.
Lucky dip. Where are we? Welcome to... And yeah, when they win it, welcome to... And then they just pause for a bit. And everyone goes, where is it? Where is it? They have lots of drum roll.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, ridiculous. But anyway, nobody got hurt.
They must have wondered why they weren't going over any water as well. Those who were looking out the window. I thought, hang on a minute.
That's true. That would be a fair point. But most of the time when you're flying, you don't, do you? You're just getting served up stuff and you're not thinking about it.
Especially when it's that short flight.
I like to pick out cities. You're not a fan of looking out the window and thinking, oh, that's...
I always take an aisle seat.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I always take an aisle seat.
Oh, I like looking out.
Doesn't like heights.
Is that right?
I don't like flying generally. I'm not a big fan.
Oh, right.
I'm not a big fan of
flying.
Oh,
in that case, you don't want to be looking out then.
I don't particularly want to look out. I don't like the bump when we land. I find it more difficult. As I get older, I get worse, actually. I'm okay with it, but I'd rather not. Mm. If there was any other way of travelling that was just as quick, I would take that. I'm hoping for teleportation. You ever seen The Fly? You haven't seen The Fly.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I've seen bits of it. Yeah, gets really big, doesn't it?
What?
Doesn't it get put?
Well, it's a man-sized fly.
Yeah, yeah, it gets
it's
really big.
It's an enormous man-sized fly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of questions about the film, but anyway, yes. But one of the main things is they have teleportation. And I think when we finally have teleportation, because I can get up 5 minutes before the show starts.
Why jump 5 minutes?
Well, because you want to give yourself a shower and clean your teeth and then jump in. I don't want to
most people be thinking
jump out of bed.
Well, you can do
one,
that.
One, I don't wear any clothes. That's the other thing. I think I need to get dressed before I turn up here.
Most people be thinking, oh, I can go off to the Bahamas, Australia, but you just want to have a couple of minutes extra in bed, do you? With teleportation, surely the point of that would be go anywhere in the world.
I was thinking particularly for when I'm working. You're right, of course. If I was going to the Bahamas, I would go to the Bahamas. Unless I got somehow the flight plan in the teleporter went wrong.
And then he would destroy the teleporter once he got there.
That's true.
But so the point you couldn't leave.
I don't know why we got onto this. Anyway, that's a quick way of
point
trying.
Is you'd be on time to
I
work.
Would be on time. I am on time anyway. Yep. I am. You anyway, are. Give us another story.
You are. Yeah, criminal excuses. There's a couple of ones in the paper of criminals who've, in court, said, the reason for why they were breaking the law. One of them, he's got 16 months in jail, had 20 cannabis plants, said they were tomatoes.
Well, they can, yeah, they can look a little bit like tomato plants. So people have told me.
Yeah, yes. But you thought that...
These tomatoes making me feel funny.
It wouldn't take long to find out that he's lying, though, would it?
Should no.
Like, well, let's have a look at the plants then.
No, it would be very simple to work it out.
So you'd have thought that by the time it gets to court, that excuse would be out the window, but he still went with it unsuccessfully.
Yeah, I guess once you're in the middle of a lie, you think, I'll just keep going and hope they don't notice.
So where are all the tomatoes, mate?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This salad is strong. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, exactly. So that's a good excuse. Terrible excuse.
That's a terrible excuse. Judge threw that one out.
Yeah.
Another one, post office director who stole more than 300 grand from work to buy love. Basically, he splashed the cash on holidays with girlfriends, trousered 260 grand and...
Trousered. That's a great word. You don't hear that word, bro. Trousered.
Trousered is a verb. It's brilliant, isn't it?
It's a great word.
£74,000 worth of Virgin vouchers he got as well. He blamed the stress of commuting to London. That's why he had to steal
all that money?
Yeah. Yeah, he had to commute to London, bless him.
To be fair, commuting is awful. I mean, I've done it for a bit in my life, and it's grim.
But
I never
more,
thought...
But more than quarter of £1 million worth of grimness,
do you know
or what?
It never occurred to me that I would get it. If I thought I could have got away with it, I might have done, but no, because I felt I deserved some sort of reward for having my face shoved in someone's armpit every morning. But no, the guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
How could he not get caught?
Well, he is. A judge said, no, actually, you stole the money for the purpose of pursuing women.
Yeah, yeah. There's worse purposes, but even still.
Yeah, true.
Did he find love, by the way?
I'm not sure.
Did he not say? Is she going to, whoever it is, whichever woman he chose at the end, is she going to wait for him?
It's like The Bachelor, The Criminal Bachelor, isn't it? Have you seen The Bachelor, the programme, where a man has to choose between 20 women?
No.
No.
No. I'm watching films while you're watching these sort of programmes.
You're watching films from the 1950s.
I'm watching films from any period.
Fair enough.
All right, okay. So anyway, he didn't get away with it either.
No, he didn't get away with it either.
All right. Give me one more.
Yes, there is a story here. I've written thieving down.
Do you know what it means? This is like sometimes in my notebook for comedy, I write notes down in like at night. I must remember that. You know, like I'll wake up in the morning, I look at my notebook, and go, eggs in shoes. What does that mean? Eggs in shoes. And I'm going through it again. There must be something funny about eggs in shoes. No idea. I've got a number of notes on that. What have you got?
It's about increasing amounts of theft when the clocks go forward, which is this Sunday. So watch out, basically, because... Why? More light, so people, well, burglars, opportunists, just think, oh, pop into there. And also people pop into that house.
Yeah, but you'd have thought darkness would be better for that sort of stuff. I'm surprised there isn't more burglary up to the point when the clocks go forward and then everyone's crime-free for a few months.
No, summer months, everyone loves a burgle. Warmer temperatures...
they can trouser some money, can't they, from me burgle.
Warmer temperatures as well means windows left open, doors left open.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see that. Okay. Okay. Global warming, then. There'll be more burglary as time goes on.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a nightmare of global warming for that. Yeah. Just another reason to try and save the planet.
These unseen consequences we never thought of. Stop spraying that aerosol. I like my new stereo.
Pretty much,
sort of idea. Okay.
This is Love Sport.
Let's talk about what happened last night. A very impressive start to Euro 2020 qualifying campaign. They scored 5 goals for the second game in a row and they won the game 5-1. The headlines will be taken by the alleged racist abuse directed at a number of the England team. Raheem Sterling said tougher actions need to be taken against abuse.
It's now time for the people that are in charge to put a real stamp on it, because, you know, you can find someone, but what's that going to do? You've got to make it a bit more harder. You've got to punish either the whole fans that can't come to games. You've got to do something that's going to really make them think twice.
Well, joining us now is the former England and Crystal Palace winger, John Solarco. Morning, John.
Good morning, Ian.
Morning. And, okay, I mean, Raheem Sterling there saying you've got to stop people coming to the games behind closed doors. Luther was sat here this morning saying they should be thrown out of the competition. What's your views?
Well, it's an absolute disgrace. They can't behave like that. I think there's always been that hotbed, you know, that kind of behaviour goes on in Eastern Europe, unfortunately. I don't think they travel much. I don't think they get out. They're very passionate. And it spills over, but they do need to be educated. And I can't see any other way of doing that by doing, you know, punishing them in the harshest way. It's not to let them watch, you know, their beloved national team. It was an absolute disgrace. Shouldn't happen. And they've got to jump down on it and jump down on it hard.
Yeah, quite. In terms of the football, let's just talk about the football for a while. I mean, they went behind England and... Were you in any doubt that they would get back into that game? Because I have to say I wasn't. I just looked at them and thought, yeah, this is a confident team.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head, Ian. It's a different England team. There's a different psychology. There's a different feel to this team. They started at a good tempo. Perhaps we overpassed it and, you know, we didn't really hurt them. But, you know, when we went 1-0 down, I thought, OK, it's a silly error. It can happen in football. But there was absolutely no doubt we were going to bounce back. I just love the way we're playing at the moment. I think everyone's up for the fight. Everyone wants to have that shirt. There's competition right throughout the squad and everyone's just embracing the chance. You know, Doyle was just fantastic, even without Sancho. And I thought Ross Barkley, he came on, against the Czech Republic and I thought made the difference. He passes forward, he gets in holes, he drives forward. It's just that little bit of ingenuity, that, you know, little bit of magic in the midfield that just opens it up. We get on the front foot. And counter-attacking with Sterling, Sancho, Doi, Kane, you know, or Rashford when he's there, we look unstoppable.
Yeah, I mean, just you mentioned Doi there, and you've been that sort of winger yourself. What do you think this boy really could achieve if given the opportunity at his club? You know, then hopefully produce that at the country as well.
Luther, you know, there's been a lot of speculation about the boy, you know, sort of going to Germany, wants to play, and he reminds me so much of myself. I think when you're young and you're a wide player, you sort of regarded a little bit of a luxury player. You know, can you be trusted? Can you go in and do the job? And when you've got people like Pedro, Willian and Hazard ahead of you, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. So, that you know, you've got to be patient. But he wants to play games. And what he's shown us is he is ready. The boy is ready. He's confident. He's got everything. His touch, his vision, his passing. He just looks so mature. And he really surprised me because I was one of the ones thought, look, he hasn't played a game for Chelsea. How's he in the England team? How's he in around the setup? But obviously, you know, Gareth's watched him in training, watched him at the under-21s. He's watched plenty of him for the under-23s at Chelsea. And he just came on and grabbed it by the horns. Then he just thought, right, I'm here. I'm ready for this. I've been born for this. And you know, the world's his oyster. What we want him to do is just keep his feet on the ground and keep progressing, because, you know, we've seen it so many times, players burst onto the scene. And Rashford's one that, you know, he's unlucky where he hasn't had his, you know, time. I think Ibrahimovic came and when you wanted him to play, and he hasn't had as much game time as he wants. But for Odoi, he needs to play now. And if he just keeps his feet, keep working hard and keep focusing and learning, that, you know, he can be a real world star.
Yeah, it's hard to find weaknesses. I mean, I know they spoke to the Montenegrin manager before, and he said he can't really see many weaknesses in this team. I mean, we know that they've still got some way to go. Where do you think they need to maybe get a bit better?
I think, to be honest, I was looking at it, and someone who's got to be a little bit wary of where he is at the moment is Dele Alli.
Yes.
I think he's had injuries, but he looks a little bit lost in that. You know, it's not quite as dynamic. I think, he came on the scene. We lauded him, we gave him plaudits, and he seems to have just lost his way a bit. Not, you know, Henderson looks, you know, he's trying, but Henderson maybe looks a little bit of a passenger. And then Rose, I think Rose, you know, there's a danger in it. You know, you saw him in Tottenham. He switches off at the back post and at times, but he's definitely a fantastic talent. He needs to get back playing his football. You know, Walker loves going forward. You know, I think that's the only danger. We go forward and we leave spaces. But, you know, with Declan Rice in there, he was fantastic. He just looked, you know, for a young lad, his intelligence, the way he picks up space, the way he... And it's a hard thing to do. And Luther will know that. You know, you talk about being able to take your eye off the ball, being able to restrict your attacking instincts and go and defend and pick up holes, pockets and see danger. And that's what Declan does. And then he gives it to people who can play. And it's perfect. So... You know, if Declan's in there picking up those pieces and doing that, you know, that Marshall in there, you know, Walker can get forward, Rose can get forward. But look, with Sancho, Sterling and Odoi and Rashford, you know, perhaps we don't have to have the fullbacks getting up as much against better teams.
Yeah, quite encouraging times, John. Nice to speak to you.
Fantastic. Thanks, Ian. Luther.
Take care, John.
John Salako there, the former England and Crystal Palace winger.
Love Sport.
Jamie has got some stories from inside the newspapers.
Yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow has embarrassed her daughter. She put a picture up on Instagram.
Embarrassed her daughter on a number of occasions. This is a woman who talks about vaginal steaming. Let's just be clear about this.
Does she?
One imagines she went, "Mum, what are you doing? What's she be on about now?"
Well, she posted a picture of them on holiday. They're on a skiing holiday.
Yeah.
It's her with her daughter, and her daughter's wearing ski goggles, so you can't really see her very clearly. But anyway, so she got a lot of likes and comments on a picture, and then she got one from her daughter saying, "Mum, we've discussed this." So Apple Martin is her name, the daughter.
Yes.
Said, "You may not post anything without my consent." And it got a bit of a debate going online as to whether she shouldn't actually be allowed to post something without her daughter's
consent.
How
old is her daughter?
Her daughter is 14.
Right. I mean, difficult age, no doubt about that. Difficult age, but also they're having this argument on social media.
On social media, yeah.
Right.
Well, Gwyneth replied, "You can't even see your face."
they should put hashtags on. "Mum, we've discussed this, hashtag angry teenager." "We can't even see your face, hashtag pain in the backside."
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, it's a bit odd that they're having this out on social media.
I suppose, yeah, a lot of teenagers weighed in on this, parents, weighed in on the side of Gwyneth Paltrow, saying it's difficult having kids who are, you know, teenagers, moody teenagers, saying my son, daughter's exactly the same, but others saying actually, you know, she's under the age of 18, you should have to get consent before you start posting pictures of her online.
I feel more in agreement with those people than with the parents. I mean, I know that teenagers can be moody. I've had a couple. And it's not great when they are like that. But, you know, their hormones all over the place. They're growing up. They don't know where they are. You sort of don't blame them. But you don't post pictures of them online unless they say that you can. Surely.
It's different. I think it's what parents do, though, isn't it? It's what mums do, post pictures of their kids online.
No, what you do is you show your friends pictures, unless they don't want you to, which is fair enough as well. But you don't post them online for the whole world to see. Why is she why are they living their lives? I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow is a public persona, right?
Yeah.
She's seen her in films. Her daughter isn't. Her daughter is just a young girl trying to make her way in the world.
Yeah, but she's
on a skiing holiday. Yeah, albeit Gwyneth's paying for it. That doesn't give her the right to post her photo.
She's proud of her. I mean, my mum.
Are you saying that we're not proud of our kids?
Yeah, but you don't have to put pictures. You can talk about, you can mention her name, but you don't have to put her picture in the thing.
The difference is Gwyneth Paltrow's got, I don't know how many followers.
Doesn't matter.
A million,
what,
maybe.
What Whereas, difference does that make?
No, well, I think it does make a difference because.
In what way?
I think most parents.
I like the way you went formal. You, sir, are a cad and a coward. Pistols at dawn.
All parents do that. Post holiday pictures on Facebook. They just do. But the difference is most parents...
And I find it weird when they do. I don't even want to show them to my friends, to be honest. What's it got to do with them? What has it got to do with anyone else? And certainly what's it got to do with members of the general public, whether you've been going skiing? Genuine. Listen, I'm skiing. I post a picture of me going skiing. That's my choice.
Yes.
This is not her choice, young Paltrow. Apple Paltrow.
Apple Martin.
Apple Martin.
Chris Martin's,
Chris
dad.
Martin's,
yeah.
Kid. Yeah. Apple. Blooming egg. Anyway.
All right, fair enough. So you're on the side of the teenager.
Sure. Yes. And so is Luther. I mean, yeah. There you go.
Because that's something I would never do. Because your kids, your job, protect your kids. Yeah. Sticking their faces on social media all the time or whatever is not protecting your kids.
I'd also not name them after fruit. Is the other thing. And my child, Carrot, would agree.
There's another story in the papers here about American billionaire, an insurance tycoon, 78 years old, and he wants to build a museum and a massive racetrack in the Cotswolds, and it's divided opinion. Now, Cotswolds...
He sounds like my sort of guy.
Yeah, well, this is a place, Cotswolds, beautiful part of the country.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of celebrities have places there.
David Cameron. Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah, and they're special.
Well, he can put it right through Cameron's back garden now, doesn't he? He was the one that caused all this Brexit nonsense.
Yeah, by the way, yes, but Jeremy Clarkson probably wouldn't mind. He loves his cars.
Jeremy Clarkson is up for it.
Of course he is.
Yeah, he drew up the plans.
Yeah, especially if it's some wooded area that would have to be demolished. He'd love all that. But
Sir Patrick Stewart said it's elitist, and he wrote a letter to the council. The council don't really want it, but it's divided opinion. It's going to cost £150 million. Big racetrack, loads of lodges, museum. Oh. This guy owns the American Bugatti club. So, I'm in. Luther,
you like your motorsport.
Yeah,
though,
I'm in.
Yeah.
To have your own private racetrack, how good is that?
Well, it's good if it's yours. But what about the rest of the residents around there? You like a bit of peace and quiet?
Earplugs, mate. There's loads of them. They sell them.
Earplugs. That's true. Earplugs would work as well. That's true. Anyway, it's divided opinion. It might happen, it might not.
Yeah, he says if it doesn't happen there, then I'll just put it somewhere else. But it's been called a playground for boys' toys.
It does sound like it a little bit, but some people like that sort of stuff.
Luther is waving his fists in anticipation.
All right.
Excitement about the whole thing. Yeah, you might get an invite, Luther.
Well, now, if I keep backing him up, I say yay.
I say I'm not that bothered either way, to be honest with you. I don't live in the Cotswolds.
No, if you had a second home in the Cotswolds...
It's a lovely place to visit.
If I had a second home in the Cotswolds, then, and they paid me enough compensation to build the track and remove my second home elsewhere, I might be okay with it as well.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. Motorsport, it is quite noisy. It's not that environmentally friendly. And private racetrack in the Cotswolds. The Cotswolds sound so countryside.
Oh, it's lovely
to me.
There.
You know?
Just what it needs, though, is a bit of noise from a few cars tearing around.
This is Love Sport.
Let's have a chat with the former England and Liverpool goalkeeper Chris Kirkland. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, chaps. Okay.
Yeah, fine. Let's just talk about the game, because we've been sat here all morning talking about racist abuse that the black players have got. It's a fabulous performance by England last night.
It was superb, especially after going behind as well. Always tough, particularly away from home. You know, very hostile crowd, as you just said. But yeah, to come back and to win the game as they did and comfortably as well. You know, they were well on top and deserved the win, and it's a great start to the campaign.
I wanted to talk to you about Jordan Pickford. I mean, people have been expressing some doubts about Jordan Pickford. He made a few mistakes in the game up at Newcastle when he got stick from the fans for being an ex-Sunderland player. How do you think he's progressing?
I think he's doing just fine. Listen, keepers are going to make mistakes. They're going to have games where, you know, the best in the world do it, where they have indifferent games, and that's just the position that goalkeeper is. You know, he's coming along great. I've worked with him, as I said before. He's one of the best I've ever worked with. And, you know, we've got to get behind him. It's too easy to vilify people and put them down. But, you know, he had a fantastic World Cup for England. You know, he couldn't do anything about the goal last night. So,
no.
Rightly still, he's England's number one.
Is that your train, by the way, Chris?
It will be soon, yeah.
Hey, I didn't want you to be not to totally concentrate because you're listening out for announcements.
That's brilliant. Chris, now, you've obviously done that. You've played for England and that sort of thing. When all that criticism's going about, it seems to me that he has dealt with it overall quite well. And having worked with him, is this, do you think, moving forward, it will make him stronger using them terminology? And I've been using a lot of them this morning.
Spot on. There's one thing about Jordan, he's a confident lad. And he's, you know, he's just got to be careful that doesn't go overconfident. But he's, you know, he bushes everything off. You know, he can make a mistake at a weekend, which he didn't do many, to be honest, when I was at Preston. In fact, I can't remember one he did. But he used to come in, he's bubbly. You know, he wants to train, wants to be best. He wants to be the best goalkeeper. That's the thing. He's got a desire that he wants to be the best goalkeeper. And he's going a long way to proving that.
He does seem to be. Out on the in the outfield, Ross Bartley, he's looking finally, I think, now like the player that we hoped he would become.
Yeah, well, he come on when I was at Sheffield Wednesday. He come on loan from Everton. He just broke his leg, and he'd just come out to get some games. And you could see way, way, way back then that technically, I mean, he's probably one of the best technically in the squad, England squad, on the pitch. I mean, he's got everything. He's comfortable taking the ball. He's got that quick turn of pace. He can see a pass, you know. And he's gone from last season to not being involved much at Chelsea to, you know, I think he's nearly started every game. He's involved week in, week out for Chelsea, which is only going to help England's chances. So he's a top player.
Yeah. Do you think also the fact that now he's playing and he's got in more and playing more at Chelsea now, he has got over that period where I think managers didn't really trust him before. They thought he would make crucial mistakes which cost the team at times. And you think maybe he's now gone beyond that and we're starting to see all of the good things that he's got to give?
Well, that only comes with playing regularly, you know. It's difficult when you come in and out of the team, especially when you're at a top team like Chelsea. You've got to hit the ground running straight away.
Yeah.
And if you're coming in and out after a few games in, it's difficult to keep that standard up. But we've seen now when he has got that consistent run, he's doing wonderful. And so you don't get in the England starting team unless you're doing it for your club.
Well, Chris, nice to speak to you. Listen, they shut the gate half a minute before the trains leave, so we'll let you run and get that. Nice to speak to you. Chris Kirtland, the former England and Liverpool goalkeeper there. I think the thing with Ross Bartley, I mean, we've been talking about Maurizio Sarri this morning and the fact that Callum Hudson-Odoi is pushing to get in the team and he doesn't want to pick him. On the other hand, with Ross Bartley, he talks about Sarri in quite glowing terms and how he's taught him.
Yeah.
Because the thing with Bartley is he tried to do too much in the past, didn't he?
Yes, he did, yeah.
He we know what talent he's got, but he didn't do the simple things well enough. When you see these top midfielders, you know, David Silva, Bernardo Silva, these sort of players, Fabregas back in the day, always made the right decision. You can say that Ross Bartley wasn't quite at that level.
No.
But it feels like he's got the talent to get there now.
No doubt about it. The talent has always been there. And it was that decision-making, you know, when to beat that man, when to make that pass that kills the opposition. He's getting much better at that now. And I think, yes, games, but maturing as well has been a big, big part of it. And probably the time he was out with the injury has actually helped him to reassess everything and appreciate that he needed to take that next step now.
My God, England have got some attacking talent, haven't they?
We have.
I mean,
we
let's
have.
Be fair, when you can have a team like England and they can start without Dele Alli, without Jesse Lingard, without Jadon Sancho, and without Marcus Rashford. I mean, I know Ali played last night, but I'm saying you could easily have Henderson and Declan Rice with Bartley in front of them, and then the three up front, and you could leave those four out, and you could still not have any room for, by the way, for Ruben Loftus-Cheek or Phil Foden when he comes in. There's some serious attacking talent there.
There is, and you know the thing for Gareth Southgate to keep doing is keep developing that, keep developing a style of play that is about the way these young players are. Not give them a style of play. They've got to develop it almost. You just give them a base and the players will develop it on top of that. And they're the best teams that do that because it doesn't become...
it's not rigid, is
yes,
it?
Yes, that's right. And that is a big thing. I think when you look back to the Spanish thing, the way they played, it was a rigid way they play. And you could almost say that is the way that that City play. But that rigid organisation of the way they play. But after that, within that, the players are allowed to express themselves and go where they want, and that makes it so difficult for you as an opposition.
And pace.
Oh, pace is
serious
ridiculous.
Pace. I mean, when they broke for that fourth goal, when Henderson got the balls, lovely pass, beautiful weighted pass through to Sterling, and he was away. And it's guaranteed goal there.
Yes,
so he just crosses it and Harry Kane. And we haven't even talked about Harry Kane this morning because he just goes about his work. He's getting better, isn't he? I mean, Paul Mortimer sat here yesterday and said he's Teddy Sheringham now.
He is.
And I thought,
he's brilliant. The way that Kane is playing, and we saw big strides and difference between him and his last England game to the way he started and the way he played on Friday.
Yeah.
Now he's dropping deeper, and it is so difficult now for defences because he drops deep, centre-halves now have no one to mark.
Where are they going?
And then suddenly they've got these guys playing in the wider areas, making runs between centre-half and full-backs and balls being slipped through the middle of them. And it makes life very difficult for the opposition. And they're creating, because once they go, they create space for the overlapping full-backs and whatever. It's looking very, very exciting.
It is looking very, very exciting. I mean, it's not, you know, I never really look forward to international breaks, but I must say I've enjoyed watching it.
It's been great.
Last few times.
It's been brilliant.
This is Love Sport.
What have you got, Jamie?
Well, actually, in fact, it's a story about the southwest of England and the countryside. Cornwall are the most likely to listen to classical music of all the places in the country. Apparently, the rest of the country, we're tending to lean towards music from films. You like your films.
I do love my films.
Whereas actually they do like a bit of Mozart down in the southwest.
Why is that? Is there a particular reason they like it down there?
Bit backward, I think. I think that'll be haven't caught up with the rest.
That's a little
harsh. I can say that. I'm from the southwest, although not quite that far south.
But the music is very complicated. They say that with classical music, with particularly good classical music, you need to listen to it a few times to really get it. So, you know,
they're more sophisticated then, perhaps.
Maybe that's what it is. Mm. They certainly have sophisticated musical tastes. Mm. Are more people listening to classical music now than they used to?
No, less.
Less now.
No, everyone else is moving away from it, yeah.
Definitely less.
I mean, I can't believe my kids, they would never listen to classical music. No. It's just not something that is on their radar.
Yeah, I mean, I started probably listening to it when I was, in my early 30s sort of thing. I've even bought some albums and stuff.
Did you?
And listened to it. Brilliant, yeah.
Once in a while you hear a tune. I was going to say, tune is the wrong word, isn't it? Symphony or some sort. It is amazing.
You've heard them all, I reckon, with that sort of stuff.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Right.
Can't tell me Beethoven from me Mozart.
No.
Well, he was totally deaf, wasn't he, Beethoven? Which is impressive.
If you met them, you could tell, couldn't you? Because you say,
you're
Beethoven, you go, sorry. Then you'd know. Then you'd know, wouldn't you?
Yeah, then you
What else have you got?
Have you ever been online after having a few beers and thought, I'll do a bit of shopping, and then woken up in the morning and thought, oh dear, what on earth have I bought?
You know what? No, but I know a lot of people who have.
Well, a lot of us are doing it. Yeah, a survey from the technology and business newsletter called The Hustle found that respondents have spent an average of £335 a year online while drunk. Ridiculous things. Cut out of the North Korean dictator to a £30 bag of Idaho potatoes.
I've already got a cut out of Kim Jong-un. I don't need that.
Got any £30
potatoes? Bag of potatoes. Well, I can always get potatoes. I don't need to buy them online. That's just odd.
Tipsy tapping, they call it.
Right.
The market is apparently worth almost $50 billion in the US.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I understand that. I remember seeing late at night, I was drunk in a hotel room late one night, and I'm flicking through the channels, and there was this, to be honest, gorgeous, fit-looking guy on an exercise bike. He had one of those vests on, and he was ripped, and he's on this massive bike, and it's in like a church hall, like a four-story church hall, and the light is coming in through the windows at the top.
And you thought, I want to buy him?
I thought, I want him. No, I thought, that is a good bike. That looks like a good bike. But the truth is, it was in a room which was about 40 foot high. You know that it would arrive and go, I can't even get it through the front door. That sort of thing. And especially if you're drunk and you're feeling a bit, you know, you're sitting there with pizza balanced on your stomach and you're going, I need to get fit. That'll do. £400, I'll get one of them. Now, but I've never been that drunk.
It'd be
worth
it.
What happens is I tend to pass out with the booze before I get to be able to phone or order something.
Oh, that's lucky.
Yeah, I don't have much of a tolerance for alcohol.
That's lucky. Yeah. Well, 4 out of 5 people who do this drunk shopping use Amazon, and Amazon's just a one-click thing, which apparently makes it more easy, you know, because you don't have then another box going, are you sure you want to buy this? One click and it's done and it's on its way to. Other things people bought were a bouncy castle for the
bouncy castle
for their living room.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to have a bit of a ceiling. You've got to have a high ceiling to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. A £1,600 pair of night vision goggles.
Oh, flights, really handy.
Flights to Azerbaijan.
Flights to Azerbaijan. I mean, for any reason?
I'm not sure.
They saw an advert saying Azerbaijan, come here. They thought, I'll go there.
Be a good holiday,
That'd be fun, would it? Yeah. I'll buy flights to Azerbaijan. Well, they deserve everything they
get. But it's mostly clothes. Apparently, people like to spend more because they think, you know, they're feeling a bit fashionable after a few beers, and it's mostly stuff like designer clothes which they wouldn't normally buy.
Feeling a bit fashionable.
Well, they're a bit swaggy, feeling a bit confident. You know, I can pull that off. Nice designer jacket,
and then
you get it,
and you go, oh, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
My mum bought me a mail order, a shirt once, which looked like a pyjama top. Looked like a pyjama top. There was no getting away from it. I put it on, and she stood there, and she went, looks lovely. And we both knew I was never going to wear it again. In the back of the cupboard. Love sports.